deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
And then you see stories like this all the time. All these businesses shutting down in what were once a good place to have a business, but then with Democrat policies on crime, you can barely make money or even ensure the safety of your employees, so you just shut down. 7-Eleven stores are closing all over Chicago, and nobody knows why. Nobody knows why. We have no idea why. One of the busiest and most important 7-Elevens across Chicago recently boarded up its windows and doors. People are blaming things like crime and the election and the general national Chicago talking points that get the folks riled up online. Well, yeah, when you can't ensure the safety of your employees because you're getting robbed so much and gun crime and violent crime are up, and then when people can just come into your store and rob you and there's nothing you can do about it and they won't go to jail or they'll get released immediately, it becomes a tough place to run a business. And when it becomes that tough, eventually you just kind of cut your losses or even your gains sometimes and just say, that's it, we're out. Nobody knows why. Yeah, the stores just get wrecked. They get mauled. Can't even ensure the safety of your employees. There's the organized retail theft. There's the looting. There's the holdups. But, oh, we don't know why they would close. Oh. No, we all know why. We all know why. They just don't want to talk about it. All right. Are you a racist because you don't know how to pronounce Kamala's name right? I really don't even know. Am I saying it right? Is it Kamala? I guess they want us to say, is it Kamala? I don't know. But apparently you're racist, according to Doug Emhoff in clip 7.
What does it say about kind of gender inequality, either subliminally or overtly, that there are little things like referring to a man in office by his last name, which signifies an authoritative position, versus a woman in office by their first name, which kind of signifies, yeah, we're friends.
Or even worse, when they intentionally mispronounce her name, you know, which is a, you know, another way to try to diminish or demean. Yeah, no, it's... We need to, it needs to be equal. And I've been, you know, trying to, you know, live that. Someone who stepped away from a big career that I love very much to support her. And it's okay to do that. It doesn't make me feel like I'm any less of a dude by doing that. She supports me just as much as I support her.
But you see, oh, they can choose how they want to live your life, but if you want to choose to live your life in a way that might be, I don't know, conservative, then you're somehow the bad guy. Again, this idea that people are intentionally mispronouncing her name, I don't even know if I'm mispronouncing her name. It's been Kamala Harris as long as I know. Now all of a sudden people don't know how to pronounce her name. But again, who made hats and T-shirts and news bits and comedy bits calling Donald Trump Donald Drumpf? So that's literally their thing. Again, it's more projection. They sold hats, T-shirts, comedy skits, everything, and they said Donald Drumpf. So that's what they did. That is actually a conscious decision to mispronounce his name, as Emhoff says, to demean him. Whatever, it's politics. Nobody's intentionally mispronouncing Kamala's name. She's been Kamala forever, and now you're saying it's Kamala. I've never heard anybody talk about mispronouncing her name till now. You can use it as some new racist trope or female victim trope. But Donald Trump, your technique to intentionally mispronounce Trump's name, Kamala, Kamala. Oh, yeah, you're rude for calling her by her first name. Okay, what will they come up with next?
Irish sea moss has been all the rage in the last 5 years because when folks started discovering it, it took the country and the world by storm because of the incredible effects it has. It's probably the greatest superfood out there, full of organic-based iodine and a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals. And we've got the gummies and the capsules now in stock at the alexjonesstore.com that are some of the strongest and best out there. Up to 55% off when you get 3 bottles, over 40% off when you get 2 bottles, 40% off when you get 1 bottle, and it's in stock right now. Ultimate Sea Moss at our great sponsor, the alexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, check out the hundreds of designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, and hoodies. And regardless what happens to InfoWars here in the next 28 days, ladies and gentlemen, your support of our sponsor will make sure I am able to stay on air. So please take action now at the alexjonesstore.com. Get the Ultimate Sea Moss gummies and capsules, as well as other amazing supplements and Patriot apparel. God bless you. Now, thanks for the support.
Give me liberty or give me death. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Tim Walz is a little different. The Trump campaign just put out this funny video of this strange man in clip 3.
You are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17. Dancing queen, feel the beat from the town.
Here he is waving to nobody. There he is with the weird spasms on the stage, clapping like a seal, pretending like he knows people in the audience. And just over-exaggerated body language. It's very strange stuff. These have to be the two most phony candidates you've ever seen on a ticket. You've never seen more forced politics in your life than this guy's body language and Kamala Harris trying to relate to people. My goodness. We can't. I mean, right? This can't be our reality. 4 years of Harris Walz, there's no way, right? There's just no way. It's unfathomable. Can't be. Can't be. There's just no way. There's no way that's, there's no way this is real. There's no way that's actually going to happen. I refuse. I refuse to believe it. Here he is claiming he doesn't even know what a venture capitalist is, which is either a weird thing to admit or just a weird thing to say on the campaign trail in clip 4.
And Senator Vance, he became a media darling. He wrote a book about the place he grew up, but the premise was trashing that place where he grew up rather than lifting it up. This guy's a venture capitalist cosplaying like he's a cowboy or something.
What?
I don't even know what a venture capitalist does most of the time.
Yeah, okay. I'm not surprised you don't know what a venture capitalist is or what a venture capitalist does. Vance is not a, I don't think he's a venture capitalist. Per se, he's worked with venture capitalists. He's more of the venture. But this simple thing is just crazy. Okay, so first he says he's a media darling. Do you know what a media darling is? A media darling is somebody that gets nothing but love and praise and adoration from the media. Barack Obama was a media darling. Can do no wrong. I mean, if anybody's a media darling, it's Kamala Harris. Nothing but positives. All the magazine covers, all the interviews, all the praise, just heaps of praise and adoration. Can't do anything wrong. Vance has been attacked by the media. Vance is the one getting attacked by the media. Vance is not a media darling. Vance was even attacked by Trump supporters when Trump chose him as the VP. There's no media darling of Vance. So really, he's had to really climb himself up to the point where people really like him a lot now. Nationally, as far as approval rating is concerned, Vance has really put in the work to become very likable and relatable. Media darling? No. I don't think there's been a Republican media darling that I could ever even remember. I mean, maybe they try to, I mean, maybe Adam Kinzinger? Seriously, has anybody ever seen a conservative media darling? No. You could be a media darling and not be political, and then if you ever espouse something political, all of a sudden, the media hates you. So there was never any media darling aspect of J.D. Vance. You cannot be a media darling. Only the liberals get the media darling treatment. Never seen that from a, never seen a Republican get that treatment ever. The crew says Trump before he ran. I mean, that might be fair. Was Donald Trump a media darling? So that proves my point. What did I say? So you can be a media darling your whole life, and then as soon as you come out with conservative politics, all of a sudden the media hates you. Yeah, Trump is like the perfect example of that even. Yeah, great. Yeah, the crew in my ear saying that. Great point, crew. And then he says, Vance is posing as a cowboy? What does that even mean? What? How is Vance posing as a cowboy? Does he go around in cowboy boots and a cowboy hat? I haven't seen that. Does he go around saying y'all? Is he out on the range? Is he going to the rodeo? What is he talking about? This guy, I'll tell you. That is, it's just, but it doesn't matter because Walls is the media darling. So he can come out here and lie about his service. He can pretend like he hunts and then he doesn't even know how to load a shotgun. I mean, he just, it's unbelievable. So, yeah, I guess Vance is going around in a cowboy hat at the rodeo, and he's lassoing cattle. And then he's going off as a venture capitalist, and Tim Walls doesn't even know what that means. Very nice. That's good. Very serious ticket. Harris Walls, very serious. Again, everything this guy does is so forced. So, but see, that was the play from the beginning. And we called it here day one. The Walls play was, hey, let's use this kind of Elmer Fuddish white guy. And that's what it is. He's basically a living embodiment of Elmer Fudd. And he's playing that role. And that's even a fake character for him. So if anybody's cosplaying a cowboy, it's him. I mean, he's the one that's pretending like he knows how to hunt. He doesn't know how to load a shotgun. And he says, oh, what did he call it, guys? The fire back or the what? Everybody, if you shoot guns, you have the kickback. What did he call it? He called it like the fire back or like the kickoff. I think he called it the kickoff. He doesn't even know basic gun terminology. Doesn't know how to load a shotgun. So if anybody's cosplaying a cowboy, it's him. And that was the entire purpose of why they chose him to be the VP. They said, okay, let's bring in a white Elmer Fudd type of guy. Let's lie about his military service so we can get the support of the military and the veterans that we're losing. Let's pose him as like a gun enthusiast and a hunter so we can kind of go after the more maybe centrist conservative that likes hunting or even maybe the liberal that likes hunting or likes guns. And so we'll kind of use him to go after that voter base. And the whole thing is just collapsed. So he's the one cosplaying as a cowboy. He's the one that they chose with the camo hat on his head when they did the thing. It was all by design. He's the one they send out to pretend like he's some hunting enthusiast. He doesn't know how to load a gun. He doesn't even know basic gun terminology. They send a whole camera crew out there. Yeah, very responsible hunting. So he's the one. Oh, my gosh. This video is so cringy, too. Do we have the audio? I mean, I can't. I don't even think I could deal with it, really. Have you guys seen this, though? Where he's out there and he's acting like he's spotting all these birds. It's actually hilarious. It's so cartoonish. He really is Elmer Fudd. I mean, I'm hunting rabbits. Shh. Be very, very quiet. I'm Elmer Fudd Tim Walls, and I'm hunting rabbits.
I don't know what a venture capitalist is, because I'm just Elmer Fudd. I wear camo hats and flannel shirts, and I like to go hunting. Somebody help me load this shotgun. Bird! Bird!
I just don't see that thing running.
There's a good chance it could have run in front of us, too, if they could pick it up.
Oh, again. Yeah, I like to hunt rabbits.
All right.
I'm out here hunting. Is my gun loaded? I hope it doesn't kick off. This is a very nice shotgun he has there. Very nice. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting. I'm Tim Walls. All right, is the camera ready?
High, they get under the grass. Yeah. I do that. I do the golf ball thing, man. I go right to it if I think I saw it down.
I should have probably done that.
Yeah.
Give it a linebacker tackle if I could have. But
I like football. And the boys' locker room.
The dogs were all on it.
And the boys' bathroom.
They had that look like they were deciding who was going to get the
ball. I'm a hunter. Look at me in my camo hat.
Stay back and stay out of there. And they did find that one. And it took us about 30 minutes, but we found it.
I'm talking hunting.
Okay. So, folks,
Oh, the camera's ready? Are you rolling? I'm going to pretend like I saw a bird. What a joke. But, oh, yeah, Vance is the one cosplaying as a cowboy. This guy all of a sudden is wearing camo hats and flannels everywhere. So, but that was all by design. It was all by design. That's good stuff. Good Lord, we are living in a freaking Looney Tunes cartoon. Oh, my God. So then who is Kamala Harris? No, Foghorn Leghorn is way too dignified. She would be more like Sylvester or like Daffy Duck, probably. Probably Daffy Duck. Yeah. I don't know if I'm convinced that Kamala Harris is Daffy Duck quite yet, but yeah, it's the Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd campaign. Honestly, Trump is like probably, it's probably Trump is Foghorn Leghorn and Vance is Bugs Bunny. No, the Wile E. Coyote, that's like Joe Biden probably, if anything. All right. No, Pepe Le Pew would be Bill Clinton. All right. I got some other stories that I want to cover here. I want to take some calls in the final segment as well. So let's give out the phone number, 877-789-2539. It is on the screen in front of you right here. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. Anything we've discussed so far today is fair game on the phone lines. All right, let me finish up with some of these headlines here. Now, Time Magazine is a little upset with Kamala Harris. They're a little upset with Kamala because they wanted an interview with her, and she keeps declining. They've requested multiple times, and she keeps declining. From last week, despite multiple requests, Time has not been granted an interview with Kamala Harris, unlike every other presidential candidate ever. We believe in transparency and publish each interview in full. Why isn't the vice president engaging with the public on the same level? Well, it's probably the same reason why she refused to go on with Bloomberg, because she might be asked some tough questions that she doesn't want to answer. So then again this week, Harris declined repeated requests for an interview for this story. In contrast, Trump talked about his policy vision with a Time reporter for 90 minutes across two interviews. Biden spoke to Time at a similar length before dropping out of the race. So Kamala's still hiding from the media. She only goes in the softball interviews. She only goes on the interviews where they have the interviewer who's literally bought and paid for by the Democrat Party. So that's what you have going on with Harris. They are still hiding her from the media. If they know it's not going to be a friendly softball interview, then she's not doing the interview. So Time is very upset. But don't worry, Time will be anti-Trump and pro-Trump. Kamala, Kamala when it's time. Because, of course, they will. Elon Musk is, I guess, just, I mean, actively campaigning now, doing his own campaign for Donald Trump with his America PAC. Tomorrow night through Monday, so that's tonight through Monday, tonight, Elon Musk will be giving a series of talks throughout Pennsylvania, so he understands the Pennsylvania importance here. If you'd like to attend one of my talks, there's no attendance fee. You just need to have signed our petition supporting free speech and right to bear arms and have voted in this election. So he's trying to get out the vote in Pennsylvania. Again, this is from the America PAC. He is sharing it on his X account. So Musk campaigning for Trump in Pennsylvania. And then you have a bit of a character, no doubt. He's had some ups and downs, and that is wide receiver Antonio Brown. And when this guy was in his prime, he was one of the best receivers in the NFL. He probably has like two or even, maybe even three top 10 yardage seasons for a wide receiver in a single season when he was with the Steelers. So he was a real good player. And then he kind of had a bit of a mental breakdown, you might say, maybe a CTE situation. Now he just kind of jokes about it. He's campaigning for Donald Trump. He's shooting videos with a Trump hat on. He's going to be outside of the Pittsburgh Steelers football game on Sunday, registering people to vote. How about that? So you can go see Elon Musk in Pennsylvania. You can go meet star wide receiver Antonio Brown outside of a Steelers game in Pennsylvania in a MAGA hat. He'll register you to vote if you haven't. So they're on the ground. They're trying to get Pennsylvania for Trump. And you've got Antonio Brown from, he jokes it, he calls it CTESPN. Definitely a character in his post-playing career. And he'll be registering people to vote and doing events for Trump. And I guess he's got a larger group now with the CTESPN in Michigan as well. So there you go. 4 p.m. Red Lot A. Pittsburgh voter registration tailgate with Antonio Brown. He's working with Turning Point. I guess, do the Steelers play on a night game? 4 p.m. is an odd time. Food and drinks provided. How about that? It's got to be a night game if they're doing it at 4 p.m., I'm assuming. So there you go. I would like to see Trump show up at an NFL game, but he said he was boycotting the NFL, so that's probably why he's not doing it. He shows up at the college games, though, and I mean, it's just a roar, just a massive show of support when he shows up at the college football games. I would imagine he'd probably get the same support at an NFL game. I would imagine he would. I think he should just break that down. I think he should show up. Pittsburgh would be a good one. Philadelphia, I don't know if Philadelphia might be too big of a risk. High risk, high reward in Philadelphia. But, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles fans, they throw batteries at Santa Claus. And, I mean, you can respect it, but the Philadelphia Eagles fans are probably some of the most rowdy, and I'll just leave it at that, fans that you're going to deal with. You know, you kind of take your life into your hands wearing the opponent's hat in a Philadelphia Eagles game. So that might be too big of a risk. Yeah, so it is a night game. So they're going to be pregame tailgating, registering people to vote outside of the Steelers game. So it's all, it's you know, everybody on deck in Pennsylvania. That's where Scott Presler has been registering people to vote. Oh, and by the way, I believe it's tonight. Guys, double confirm this to me, but I'm pretty sure it's tonight. Kamala Harris's Bret Baier interview is going to air on Fox News, and with a shot at, I think, CBS and some of the other people that interviewed Harris. I'll call her Harris. How about that? Should we call her Harris now, Doug Emhoff? You know, you're basically, really, Doug Emhoff will be the first lady. She's the man of the relationship, but Baier came out and said there will be no edits. It's taped to live, one cut. So they're not going to deceptively edit it like CBS did and like others have done to try to make Kamala Harris look good. It's going to be one straight interview. So should be interesting to see if Bret Baier really shows any teeth or declares Arizona for Biden before the polls even close. All right. Frequency in news, media, and academic papers. The term misinformation picked up popularity right after 2016. I wonder why. Just like racism, all of these terms that they love calling Trump and Trump supporters were barely even mentioned in media until Trump took over. And now it's some of the most highly mentioned words. Misinformation, racism, and it's all propaganda. Right after Trump gets elected, it's all propaganda. Did they already post the interview, guys? They had it on the screen there. Oh, it's... The interview is live right now. Well, I guess Baier is airing it on his show then. So is that what's going on? He's actually just airing it live on his show? Okay. So we'll have some of those clips for you, too. I wasn't expecting that before we signed off here today, so I will take the calls. We already have callers on the line. So we'll do some of that before we go to calls. In fact, guys, do you want to play that clip right there that you had on the screen before we take this break? Do we want to play that clip right now before the break? Do we have it? All right. Well, we might have some of those clips for you. By the way, it's very likely that your state has abortion on the ballot. This is all to try to get Democrats out to vote. They're even doing it in Missouri with Amendment 3, very red state, anti-abortion state. And, I mean, this is just crazy. Amendment 3 is abortion on demand. It would make abortion allowed for any reason during all 9 months of pregnancy. Remember, it was Walls who said, we don't want 9 months. Nobody's calling for 9 months. It's literally a Democrat bill, Amendment 3 in Missouri. It would allow abortion to occur at any facility and would allow any healthcare professional to handle the procedure. And I guess that's a spectrum now, too. You can just declare you're a man, declare you're a woman, whatever. So you can declare you're a healthcare professional. Pregnant minor children would no longer need their parents' permission to receive an abortion. Parents of minor children would not even be able to ensure the safety of their daughters, as all safety standards for abortions would be removed from the law. Abortion facilities would be allowed to receive taxpayer funding. And that's the Democrats love that. They launder money through Planned Parenthood anyway. Pave the way for more children to be groomed in a destructive life of transgenderism, including allowing harmful drugs and devastating irreversible surgical body alterations. Amendment 3 on the ballot in Missouri. And this is all to get women out to vote for abortion and to try to help Kamala Harris, who's not that popular. Abortion is more popular than Kamala Harris. Think about that. Abortion is more popular than Kamala Harris. So they're putting abortion on the ballot to try to boost Kamala Harris. And then they say nobody wants abortion for 9 months. It's literally in their bills. It's in their bills in Colorado. It's in their bills in Virginia. It's exactly what the Democrats want. But it's such a disgusting policy that they deny it when they're asked about it. But then on paper, that's always what they support.
I'm shooting this update on Tuesday, October 14th, 2024. In 28 days, InfoWars goes up for sale, and the bad guys say they're going to try to outbid the good guys and shut us down. Well, regardless of what happens, I'm going to stay on the air. And I know those of you watching and listening think the same thing, because you love America, you love freedom, and you're not rolling over to the globalists. You're not rolling over to their censorship and their bullying and how they've terrorized the American people. You're fired up, and you are part. You are at the heart of the Great Awakening. Now, we make it really easy to ensure no matter what happens to InfoWars, we stay on the air and keep fighting without missing a beat. And the way to do that is to support our great sponsor, the alexjonesstore.com, with incredible t-shirts, amazing ball caps, hoodies, you name it, that spread the word and promote a message of liberty. And you also meet like-minded people while you do it. There's also incredible supplements. For years, Irish sea moss has been all the rage as the superfood, because just in the concentrated moss itself, it's full of one of the best types of iodine that is such a key in our entire body. But then it's got all of these other superfoods and ingredients in it that just turbocharge the entire body, particularly the thyroid and all of your hormones in your body. The endocrine disruptors, the weed killers, the atrazine, all the glyphosate that's in the food, the water, everywhere, suppresses that and blocks that. That's why using the compounds God gave us does incredible things. Now, we sold out of the first round of concentrated gummies, Irish Sea Moss, Ultimate Sea Moss, thealexjonesstore.com. But more is coming in next week. But they just got in yesterday the powdered capsules of it that don't taste great like the gummies, but dissolve in your stomach so you never taste it, so it doesn't matter, that are twice as strong when it comes to the iodine and the other key compounds in it. Now, the gummies are amazing. People are going to love them. You get instant energy from them, but it takes a few weeks for the iodine to really kick in, so you really feel it. But with these capsules, they are actually a little bit more than twice as powerful with the main ingredients. So believe me when I say you want to go to thealexjonesstore.com, look at the ingredients list, and then research the ingredients for yourself, because it's not just the sea moss. It's a superfood. It has the iodine, a bunch of other vitamins and minerals and key trace elements in it, so it really gets into your blood, really gets into your cells. I was already incredibly excited about our sea moss because I know about the rave reviews, but since I've been taking it, it is insanely good. I just now started taking yesterday the capsules, and they're even more incredible than the gummies. So for adults, for children, for old folks, for everybody, you want to get Ultimate Sea Moss at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds our operation. No matter what happens to InfoWars, supporting our sponsors, thealexjonesstore.com, is critical to the fight. Plus, these are amazing products. You can get one bottle of the Sea Moss gummies or the Sea Moss powdered capsules for 40% off, two for 40%+, and three for 50%+ exclusively at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, the classic InfoWars red on navy blue shirt. This is a classic, but if InfoWars shuts down, it's going to be quite a collector's item, quite the memento of history. But if we survive, it'll be even cooler. So please make your mark in history. Know that you back the most critical media organization defending Team Humanity at the most important time in our decades and decades long history. Please visit now thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you all for your past support and ask you now more than ever to commit at this critical time.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The American way of life
is under attack.
This is the War Room.
Word and indicators are Kamala Harris just got cooked by Brett Baer, or maybe cooked herself. I'm going to play a couple clips. We already opened the phone lines. I got some callers, so I will go to the callers here, but we got a couple clips. First, she's asked about her trans policies. Let's go to that first.
Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
So are you still in support of using taxpayer dollars to help prison inmates or detained illegal aliens to transition to another gender?
I will follow the law. And it's a law that Donald Trump actually followed. You're probably familiar with, now it's a public report, that under Donald Trump's administration, these surgeries were available to, on a medical necessity basis, to people in the federal prison system. And I think, frankly, that ad from the Trump campaign is a little bit of like throwing you know, stones when you're living in a glass house.
The Trump aides say that he never advocated for that prison policy and no gender transition surgeries happened during his presidency.
Well, you know what, you got to take responsible for what happened in your administration.
Yeah, no surgeries happened in his presidency.
It's in black and white.
Would you still advocate for using taxpayer dollars for gender reassignment surgeries?
I will follow the law, just as I think Donald Trump would say he did.
You would have a say as president.
He spent $20 million on those ads trying to create a sense of fear in the voters because he actually has no plan in this election that is about focusing on the needs of the American people.
Wow. So she blames it on Trump. Those are literally her words. She said it, and then she blames it on Trump. Wow. By the way, that shot that they have over Brett's shoulder of her is brilliant. It makes her look like a tiny little person. Believe me, that's very damaging. That's very damaging. So I don't know if they did that intentionally, but they made her look like a tiny human being with that shot. So I mean I don't know how bombshell that one is, but I mean it's her words, and now she's basically running from the policy. So she's running from her own policy. She's running from her own words. Here she is on immigration.
You know, voters tell pollsters all over the country and here in Pennsylvania that immigration is one of the key issues that they're looking at this election, and specifically the influx of illegal immigrants from more than 150 countries. How many illegal immigrants would you estimate your administration has released into the country over the last 3.5 years?
Well, I'm glad you raised the issue of immigration because I agree with you. It is a topic of discussion that people want to rightly have. And you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, but
right
do you
now,
just a number. Is, do you but, think it's but, 1 million, 3 million?
Brett, let's just get to the point. Okay, the point is that we have a broken immigration system that needs to be repaired.
So your Homeland Security Secretary said that 85% of apprehensions.
I'm not finished. We have
an immigration system. It's a rough estimate of 6 million people have been released into the country. And let me just finish. I'll get to the question, I promise you.
I was beginning to answer.
And when you came into office, your administration immediately reversed a number of Trump border policies. Most significantly, the policy that required illegal immigrants to be detained through deportation, either in the U.S. or in Mexico. And you switched that policy. They were released from custody awaiting trial. So instead, included in those were a large number of single men, adult men, who went on to commit heinous crimes. So looking back, do you regret the decision to terminate Remain in Mexico at the beginning of your administration?
At the beginning of our administration, within practically hours of taking the oath, the first bill that we offered Congress before we worked on infrastructure, before the Inflation Reduction Act, before the CHIPS and Science Act, before the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first bill, practically within hours of taking the oath, was a bill to fix our immigration system.
Yes, ma'am. It was called the U.S. Citizenship Act of 2021.
Exactly.
It was essentially a pathway to citizenship for the
illegal.
Yes, ma'am.
May I finish responding, please?
But
you have to let me finish.
You
please.
Had the White House and the House and the Senate,
I'm
and they
the
didn't bring up that bill.
I'm responding to the point you're raising,
okay.
And I'd like to finish.
Yeah, this is bad for her. And honestly, it doesn't even matter what she says. Because it's the optics are bad. Brett Baer is like a square-jawed, powerful-looking man, and she's a weak, tiny human being. She clearly cannot handle it. She doesn't come off with any leadership aura. She doesn't come off with any authority at all. He comes off as the authority figure. He comes off as the power figure in this. She comes off as a weak person clawing up. So this is just bad optics. I mean, it doesn't even matter what she says. I mean, she word salads her way through everything anyway. So, yeah, there'll be some clips that are damaging based off of what she says or says saying nothing. But I'm telling you, the optics of this, again, look at this framing right here. I don't know if Fox did this intentionally, but folks, this they are destroying her. Look at how tiny she looks. She looks like a watermelon head, tiny person. She looks like a cartoon character. This shot, she looks like she's not the authority figure, that she's not the power figure here. It's Bret Baier. You look at her body language. You look at her mannerisms compared to Bret Baier's. He's sturdy. He's strong. He's in a power position. She's wavering. She's limp. Her facial expressions are very weak. His are very strong. They have that over-the-shoulder shot where she literally looks like a tiny little cartoon character. This is, they're going to regret this. She's going to regret this. And her staff on the flight back to D.C. is probably going to get gnawed on and screamed at and yelled at, and probably there will be firings and or a lot of people quitting after this. And then I was told they ended it early. So, wow. Well, she did a real interview, and that's what you get. First real interview she's done, and she embarrasses herself, really. Okay, let's take some phone calls here before we sign off for the day. Let's go to Caleb in Missouri. Caleb in Missouri, you're on the air. Go ahead.
I want to start by saying God bless you. God bless the whole crew. I got to say, I'm tipping my hat to you for that debate the other night against that creature and just maintaining your composure. Don't really know a lot of people in my circle of friends that would have been able to just keep a straight face like you did. So hats off to you for that one. And what I called about was I wanted to say that, thinking of Walt fumbling with that shotgun, I haven't heard anybody yet make the observation that he's supposedly Sergeant Major, two-time war hero who's, been overseas twice and 20 years plus in the service, and he can't even load one of the simplest guns there is to load.
Yeah, and of course he lied about his military record, and he talks about carrying a weapon of war in the battlefield. That never happened either. Yeah, I mean, he really comes off as a total klutz. Like, worse than Elmer Fudd. I mean, other than maybe like a double barrel shotgun, I don't know what would be easier to load than that. So, yeah, I mean, he's just a total phony.
And also, I think Bret Baier, for the most part, he's pretty squish too. So, the fact that he's even giving it back to Kamala now is just more, I mean, she's just got no chance. It can't happen.
Yeah, I mean, Bret Baier, I'll take the good with the bad when it comes to Bret Baier. I think that he probably tries to play the middle ground and appease, if you will. But there's no doubt he took advantage of this opportunity, I think, to really embarrass Kamala. And I wonder, too, I mean, this is a guy that's been around forever. He's not a dumb guy. I wonder, too, how much say he had in the camera arrangement, because I'm telling you, Kamala's people obviously didn't have any say in that, because they would have requested different shots, different angles, different framings. I mean, she looks bad. Like, it's bad, bad framing. She on all three of those shots, the framing looks horrible for her. Optics do matter.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. I haven't seen the video yet. I've only heard you describing it. But, I mean, I can only imagine. She is small, so of course she would look small.
Yeah, and I guess it doesn't help because she's sitting down. She's got like 3-inch heels on. So when she's standing up in heels, she kind of looks, a little taller. I don't know how tall she is. But, look, they can talk about all day long. And thank you for the call, Caleb. They can talk about all day long. Oh, people aren't ready for a woman leader and all this stuff. Look. That has nothing to do with misogyny. There are certain traits of human beings that are inherent from years of epigenetics and our DNA and our gut. Okay? It's the same reason why a woman biologically would naturally be more inclined to be attractive to a taller man, a stronger man than a weak man, a small man, an unhealthy man. They want somebody that can protect them. They want somebody that can protect their children. Even if it's not a conscious thing, it's a subconscious thing. It's in their biology. It's in their traits. It's just, it's a natural thing. So yeah, you look at Kamala Harris, she's a tiny woman, and people don't want that in a leader. They don't want that. They look at life right now and they think, you know, maybe times are kind of hard and things are kind of uncertain. They don't want a fragile, tiny woman to be their leader. You know, maybe in a time of peace or something, or, you know, big prosperity, you could, but no. So it has nothing to do with sexism or anything like that. It's biology. It's subconscious human biology and traits. We don't want a tiny woman leader. It's not what people want. Women don't want it. Men don't want it. Has nothing to do with sexism or anything else. That's just human biology, learned human biology built into us from our ancestors, living and learning. Let's go to Bria in New York. Bria, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good evening, Owen. So good to speak to you. God bless you, I want to say, first and foremost. I want to really talk about my testimony. Living in New York City has been the worst ever. I lived here 27 years, and I know that's not a long time, but I've seen the progression of everything changing over the years. I personally have moved out of my childhood home by force because in Brooklyn, they had migrants everywhere. Sex trafficking, everywhere. Prostitution, everywhere. It was literally the biggest zoo I have ever been a part of, and I've seen it decline in the last, like, 5 years, honestly. And just being introduced into InfoWars and the whole team, Alex, you, and Harrison, love Harrison. He has such a calm demeanor. I love him in the morning and just the way you guys like have the show laid out. But needless to say, I got pushed out of my home. My grandparents are immigrants. They're from Ghana. They had to go back to their country, and not saying that Africa is anywhere better because the Chinese, everything is going on over there too, vaccines, you name it. But they're familiar with Africa. They went back to Ghana and left my mom, myself, and my uncle to figure out life. And it just sucks because no one had anything planned. No one wanted to move. But now our whole family are split it up. Like, and that's the whole thing with this world. They're making people take away the families. Like, what happened to all the fight in this country? Like, all the Americans, Ulysses Grant, Abraham Lincoln, like, the people that had struggles and testimonies, and they fought and laid their lives to this country. And I'm just getting choked up because it's just like, I wanted to live my life, have a family, get married. Like, me and my partner, me and my boyfriend been together for 5 years, and the life that we've had within the last 5 years, losing jobs, people discriminating because of vaccines, I had to travel 3 hours just so I won't have to get vaccinated to find work, on unemployment for a year. Like, I can make the list. Now I'm on my own, like, have no money. Like, that lady speaking how she's poor and she's grinding, like, breaks my heart. You know how many people I see on the street carrying their lives with them? And these are the people that want to tell us what to do? Are you kidding me? And there's people and children being trafficked. I can make the list. But no, everyone's in their little corners doing whatever meaningless job they're doing, thinking they're accomplishing everything, while people are literally dying.
Well, I appreciate your emotional story there. I would respond first. You talk about what happened to American leadership maybe even more directly to speak to the issue, what happened to strong male leadership? And I think that this has been the result of political correctness. This has been the result of the attack on men, the attack on white men, the attack on masculinity, the rise of this new modern feminism, which is just radical liberalism, leftism. And so when you combine all those things, it's taken men kind of out of the picture, or it's made men in just kind of a pragmatic fashion just think, well, you know, I can try to step up and do these things, but I'm going to be called this name. I'm going to be called that name. You know, they're told to get to the back of the line. They're told that they're racist. They're told that they're misogynist. They're discounted. They're told they're not needed. And so it's all this messaging that I think puts a lot of men down and maybe even into depression. And so that's what's happened. They've used feminism. They've used racism. They've used political correctness to take strong male leadership out of the picture. They've beaten men down to take it out of the picture. And that's why they hate Donald Trump so much, because he represents that to them. Now, as far as you talk about life in New York and the struggles, you know, this is something that really bothers me. And there's multiple levels to this, but the general point is that Americans deserve better. Well, let's say maybe you don't believe Americans deserve better. I would say Americans deserve better, but Americans can be doing better. The American way of life could be so much better. And that's what's so frustrating to me about the American liberal that doesn't believe that. The American liberal, in fact, believes that Americans need to suffer. The American liberal thinks that the American lifestyle needs to be brought down. The American liberal looks at third world countries and says they have it worse than you, so you need to have it bad. The American liberal looks at a poor person and says, we can't have a rich person because there's a poor person. The American liberal consciously wants to drag America down. So they're not bothered by it. They're not bothered by it. As long as they've got their lifestyle that they want, they're not bothered by the poor American. They claim they are, but they're not. Because the truth is, a good economy, good economic policy brings America up. So practically speaking, this is what bothers me. We spend so much money on foreign citizens and foreign wars. It's hundreds of billions of dollars every year. Hundreds of billions of dollars. We could easily be investing that in America, have better infrastructure, better policing, whatever, you name it, better schools, all of it. Everything could be better for us. We could easily be cutting our corporate taxes. You know, Kamala Harris comes out with an economic plan where she wants to raise taxes on Americans and she wants to raise corporate taxes. And then she attacks Donald Trump because of the tariffs policy and says, that's going to be a tax on Americans. You literally are raising taxes on Americans. The whole goal with the tariffs is to bring American manufacturing jobs back. The whole goal with tariffs is to make it financially painful for American companies to go overseas and produce their goods and produce their products and ship it back. So the whole goal is to bring it back. Trump also wants to cut corporate taxes. So that's the whole goal here. And then Harris says, oh, the Trump tariffs is like a tax on America because they'll raise their prices. No, the goal is to bring them back. Our corporations shouldn't be paying 35% corporate taxes. Okay? The American people shouldn't be paying 30% of the money that they earn through federal income tax, state income tax, sales tax, property tax, payroll tax, you name it. 30% of the money you make, you're paying in taxes. These are basic policies that can change the American way of life in really probably 4 years, in really probably one administration. Maybe it takes 8 years when properly applied. And so you can bring manufacturing jobs back to America. You can go work at a plant as soon as you want, 18 years old, let's say, and you can make a living You can afford to live on your own. You work there for a couple years, 4 years. Maybe you decide you're going to work there forever. Now you can make enough money. You can own a home. You can raise a family. You can make a living wage for yourself and your family and to be a homeowner. This has all been shipped overseas. This has all been taxed out of existence. We have crumbling infrastructure. We have crumbling subways, crumbling public transportation because we send all of our money overseas. We give all of our money to foreign countries. We give all of our money to foreign citizens. You change all of that. You change the American way of life. You don't have to live like this. We don't have to live in degradation. But it's like this idea that somehow America is inherently bad. We've had it too good, so we have to suffer. Or, oh, it's someone else's fault. It's the rich's fault. It's the white man's fault. It's this person's fault that somebody's living in poverty. So none of that has to exist. And they hate Donald Trump because he represents turning it all around, strong male leadership, and bringing back a booming America that they hate and they never want to see. All right, let's take one more call here before we sign off for the day. Let's go to Darren in Florida. Darren, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going on?
Good.
The Looney Tune character, I don't know if you ever seen it, where Bugs Bunny, he goes and stays in the haunted hotel. It's like a Halloween episode. And it's the bird with the three heads just hanging in the tree. That's Carmella, because she one has a southern accent, one has an Indian accent, and one just has a regular bird accent. One more thing, I like to pronounce her name Carmella. With a R in the middle of her name, with a hard R, ever since she started identifying as a black woman.
So, Carmella?
That's about it. Carmella, brother. Carmella with a hard R. You know what I mean?
Carmella hairy ass.
Yeah, there you go. That's her, brother. That is her. Hey, I'd like to thank you for everything you guys do. You guys are awesome. And I bought the sea moss. Two things of the three pack gummies before they sold out, thank God.
Appreciate that, Darren. Thank you for the call. Let me squeeze in Anthony in California real quick. I'll address this. Anthony, make it quick.
First generation American. My parents came in 1957. I went in the Marine Corps. I was a part of that 29 Palms questionnaire. Got woke up, found Alex before 9/11. And really, I'm calling because Trump comes out as a pro-genital mutilation for minors as long as their parents consent. Now, that was on the Economic Club of Chicago.
Yeah, I don't know why he did it. It didn't make sense to me. Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. I don't know. Again, I'm not a purist. I'm not gonna just say, oh, well, I'm done with Trump. So, yeah, I don't know why he said it. I don't get it. I don't know why he would say that. I don't think he wins any votes with that. But, yeah, it was a bad move for me.
The globalist deep state just took their war on free speech and our very identities and our very freedoms to the next level. They have now introduced a lawsuit against me where they literally claim they own my name, my social media, and me personally in violation of the 13th Amendment that we fought the Civil War over. They're actually saying I'm an indentured servant, that I am a slave. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm always the canary in the coal mine. I am the test case. And when they get through me, they're coming after you. They're not just saying they own me. They've also filed in federal court and also in the state court saying they own the name Alex Jones. And that they own real Alex Jones on X. Now, the courts have all said you can't do things like that, but they're trying it. And if I don't aggressively battle them in the state and federal court, they will get a win if I don't challenge it. And then they'll be able to use that tactic on you as well. And in the words of President Trump, when that bullet grazed his ear, defiantly rising up and saying, fight, fight, fight. That's how we fight. In the information war, winning hearts and minds, and we're unstoppable if you simply decide to take action. So for all your word of mouth, all your prayers, and all your support over the years, I salute all of you and remind you that you are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. You are the people. And I am so proud to have been working with all you through the years, and now the fight is entering the most intense part of the phase. So let's redouble our efforts and let's win this thing. or we can roll over and be slaves to the New World Order. As for me, I'll quote Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. And I'll quote Colonel Travis the Alamo, victory or death. RealAuctions.com, TheAuctionStore.com. Back me and I'll never surrender.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.